Well, good evening, class. This is our third class, if I think I'm right. This class here, we're going to deal with another subject matter that I think is going to follow up on our last class. We're going to be dealing with the authority, the controversy of the universe. If you're going to follow along in your book, it's not hard to find. I call it lesson three. But we're going to begin with this statement that the controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority, and our conflict with Satan is a direct result of our attributing authority to God. Well, if we go back to our previous lesson, we're going to find out that after Satan became a fallen angel, and his how would I say that? His role that he played with God was severed because of his rebellion. Then he became an adversary with God, and because he was an adversary of God, there became a controversy in the universe, a controversy in God's created being, meaning his people that were created after Adam, during the time of Adam, and until this day. This controversy still stands today, and that controversy is who shall have the authority, being that Satan gained dominion over this earth. That places him as, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Let's turn that quickly. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. I have to prove this point, but I want to prove it with scriptures, and I don't just want to quote the scripture. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. Going to prove what actually happened to Satan during this rebellion and his becoming opposition to God and an enemy of God would be a better statement. Satan became an enemy of God. And he is saying, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. No, I'm in 2 Corinthians 8. It doesn't read like so. So let me back up a little bit, class. 2 Corinthians 4 and 4. I'm on my tablet, and I hit the wrong chapter. So it said, in whom the God of this world. Now underline that in your Bible, because Apostle Paul speaks above Satan as being the God of this world. And he became the God of this world because he robbed Adam of his rights in the garden. Adam became deceived. Well, I'm gonna say this. In reality, God had made Adam the God of this world with small g. And because Adam had dominion over the fish of the sea and over everything. And therefore, he became the God of this world. But Satan robbed him and deceived him. And Adam gave us his legal rights to the earth. And Satan gained ascendancy over the earth realm, let's put it like this, over the world system. And so he became, as Apostle Paul states, the God of this world, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Well, the whole point, I want you to, this one phrase here, the God of this world, just to prove the point that Satan became the God of this world system, because God still owns everything. The heaven and the earth belongs to God. So he's the God of the world system. And so Adam gave up his legal rights and gave up his dominion through his deception. And so Satan became an enemy of God, and rebellion came upon all men. That spirit of rebellion became to infiltrate this earth realm in the atmosphere that we see and breathe in every day. It's infested with rebellious spirits, the demons, and Satan himself. And so now there's a battle that began to take place. Battle against righteousness and unrighteousness. Right and wrong is always staring us in the face, because Satan want to rule in unrighteousness. God rules in righteousness. Satan wants to rule in unrighteousness and sinfulness and everything that's of deception and against God. So I'm going to make this first statement all over again, and because I need to prelude it so the lesson can be clear to us, class, so we can know exactly what happened and what transpired during the fall of Adam and during Satan taking dominion over the world system. Now, it's the controversy of the universe now is centered on who shall have the authority. And so God came to his son Jesus to redeem us from Satan's authority. Jesus paid the price. The Bible says he took the keys from death and hell. And so Jesus has brought us back to our rightful dominion. And so we have to read the scriptures concerning that in Romans, where Jesus, one Adam, that the first Adam, Jesus became the second Adam and restored us to rightful possession of what belongs to us, even though we're still in the world, we have our rights back in the spirit realm. Satan has no more dominion over the believer, over the Christian, but there's still a constant battle of righteousness and unrighteousness, sin, evil, and what is good and right in God's sight. It's a constant conflict. Paul said, every time I try to do what's right, evil comes upon me or comes against me. That's because we're still in this world system. Now, class, I want to know that there's a controversy, and we caught right in the middle of it. And that's why we're subject to temptation, subject to Satan deception, even to this day, if we don't walk in the Spirit. Apostle Paul put it this way. That's why I love Apostle Paul, because God gave him so much revelation of spiritual things. Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh or the works of the flesh or the deceptions of the flesh. You see it? And so we're constantly in battle. And so that controversy reigns today, class, of who shall have the authority. Satan still wants to have authority even over the believer. And he's constantly putting us in a position of having to choose good and evil. Are you with me? So let's read, and then I'm going back to the book, and we're going to see a biblical example of what happened to the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road that brought him to a place of understanding this authority and meeting authority. So this lesson is talked about the controversy of the universe. So this sounds like a good quiz question. The controversy of the universe is centered on who shall have the authority. And our conflict with Satan is a direct result of our attributing authority to God. So once we switch sides, you know, we were born to sin, but thank God for Jesus, we were able to get born again. And then we became children of God. Rather than children of the devil, children of Satan. So right now, Satan is trying to gain his rightful place back. Even though we accepted Christ, he's constantly have us in battle, trying to deceive us, trying to make us relinquish our authority to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he wants to gain that ascendancy back over us because he's, you know, we in opposition against him. And so he's really trying to bring us to a point where we can really curse God. You see it? He wanted to reject God. Even after Jesus had paid an awesome price, he really wanted us to curse God because he's upset. Because now that we're born again, we're no more under his lordship. I say all that, class, to try to get us to understanding exactly where and what this authority and this controversy is all about. I hope you follow me close and good. So when we yield, listen at this point. It's not in your book, but you can write this down for yourself. When we yield to God's authority, Satan becomes powerless in our life. When we yield to God's authority, you see, even though we're born again, Satan still tries to tempt us to yield to his authority. And so it's a constant battle. But like Paul said, if you walk in the Spirit, constantly live from the inside, then we won't be led to do what is wrong and to follow Satan and his authority and under his dominion. So if we walk in the Spirit, class, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh or yield to Satan's temptation or bow down to his level when it comes to obeying God. Now, the good scripture for this is Ephesians 4:27. Apostle Paul says, neither give place to the devil. And our apostle teaches this all the time. He said, if you don't give Satan a place, you won't have any. So don't yield to him. Giving place means yielding to the devil. If you don't yield to Satan and his temptation and his suggestion, he won't have no place in your life. He can't touch you. He can't touch you for 1 minute. Only authority he has in your life is what you yield to him. So Paul said in another chapter, another book, yield not your members unto unrighteousness. And he's talking about, in plain simple words, unto the devil and his authority. Now, I'm going to slow down a little bit, Claire, because I feel myself trying to get a little excited. And I want to keep a tempo. I want to keep a flow going here so you can understand. And so I want to keep up with the book and don't get sidetracked too much, okay? Now, listen to this statement. To maintain God's authority, we must be subject to it with all of our heart. Now, to maintain that authority, it's one thing to walk in God's authority, but it's another thing to continue in God's authority. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In other words, he don't mind us getting born again, but he want to pull us in and out of our fellowship with God. So, and once we get out of fellowship with God, then he has the right and he wants to dominate us because we walk out of the Spirit and we walk into the flesh. That's why he wants to get you out in the flesh so much. Because once you get in the flesh, you have yielded to him and you have yielded yourself to him. And he, at that time, whenever you yield to him, you become servant to whoever you yield to. So I'm not going to practice yielding to the enemy. I'm not going to give over my members to Satan. And I'm not going to give my mind and my thoughts over to Satan. No, Apostle Paul, and we're going to get this to later on in the lesson, talk about casting down imagination. What imagination? Those thoughts that he tempts us with. And, you know, the thoughts come and thoughts continue to come. But a thought unyielded to, I believe, it dies unborn. Don't have any ability to give birth and to take dominion over you and to rule you. So now we're at this point now that even though we're born again Christian, Satan still wants to keep us out of fellowship with God. So we have to maintain this authority. Once we gain this authority, we have to maintain this authority by being subject to God with all of our hearts. How you do that? Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. I think it's in Luke. Thou shalt love thy Lord, thy God, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And then he said, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. You know, if you love God, you're going to continue in his word. All right? Now, listen at this next statement. Now we're going to the book of Acts now with this statement, because we're going to begin talking about the Apostle Paul on the Damascus Road experience. And this is a very good lesson of how God demonstrated Apostle Paul getting born again on the Damascus Road and changing government. Apostle Paul changed government. He changed system right down this road here. It says, before he knew. Now, well, let's read this statement first. It is absolutely necessary for us to meet God's authority and to possess a basic knowledge of what it is. And most people, sad to say, have never met God's authority. Born again, yes, but they have not met God's authority. And if you don't meet God's authority, you have a tendency to still even be saved and still be a rebel. What? What do you mean be a rebel? Still opposing some of the things of God and by right of deception. Being born again, but still have the ability to be deceived into wrong thinking, read to wrong acting, wrong speaking. Is what Satan loves, because even though you're born again, you can be an adversary to God by words, thoughts, and deeds. Yeah, but God wants to bring the whole member. God just don't want your spirit born again. He wants your body and your soul submitted to him. I pray, God, that your whole spirit, see, this is in 1 Thessalonians 5, that your whole spirit, soul, and body, Apostle Paul said, your whole spirit, soul, and body be sanctified. That God sanctifies holy. And you got to bring your whole spirit, your soul, and your body unto subjection, which is submission unto the authority of God. I'm saying a lot, Claire. I'm saying a lot. Now we get into this statement here. Before he or Paul knew authority, he tried to wipe out the church. And after he had met authority on the Damascus Road, he saw that it was hard for the feet, which is human power, to kick against the gold, which is God's authority. Is it hard for human power to stand against God's authority? And so, now, on the Damascus Road, Claire, Apostle Paul was given letters by the high priest. You read the story. Were given letters by the high priest to go and persecute all the Jews that were found, they call it this way, or the way of Christ, that accepted Jesus Christ, or all the people that had got born again and become followers of the way, or followers of Jesus Christ. And so what happened? He thought he was doing God a favor. Yeah, he thought he was doing God's work. But through the deception and the ignorance of the priests and the religious teaching at that time, they thought that Jesus was an enemy of Christ. Satan deceived them to think that Jesus was an imposter, that Jesus was an enemy against the law of God. And so therefore, they thought Jesus was disrupting their religious beliefs, because Jesus didn't speak naturally. Jesus spoke the words of God. And so the Pharisees, Sadducees were highly deceived, and Apostle Paul was one of them that were deceived by the enemy tricks, by perverting the doctrines of God. And anytime you pervert the doctrine of God, you get into opposition with God. And so now they think that Jesus is an enemy to destroy the law of God and destroy their religious and their tradition. Now they send letters to all the people that had accepted this Christ, because he said he was risen from the dead, and they never believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one. So now Paul is headed to Damascus to destroy and to stop this new thing that's going on now. Because people were following by the thousand. Peter preached one time, 3,000 got saved. Another time, 5,000 got born again. And now there's a mass, exodus from the Pharisaic religion, from religion in itself. And anytime you start seeing these people begin to get born again by the grove, they say, we need to stop this. And so Apostle Paul, or Saul at this time, I'm trying to bring us up to this Damascus Road. Saul at this time, now, getting letters from the high priest on approval that he can have a right to imprison them and bring them back, chained and whatever, back to Jerusalem to be persecuted or to be jailed because of those that are called followers of the way. They weren't called Christian at that time until in Antioch. So they were followers of the way. And being followers of the way, class, it caused a disruption among their religious sector. I'm trying to bring us up to speed. And now the Apostle Paul is about to go to Damascus because he found out that a lot of Christians taking up residence and Damascus was getting, a spiritual facelift. People were getting born again in Damascus. Now he got to stop this thing that's going on in Damascus. And so he got letters from the high priest. Now, that brings us up to this first chapter, this ninth chapter of the book of Acts. And it's going to read, let me find it again, Claire. And I begin to read this ninth chapter of the book of Acts. Make sure I hit the right book right now. Acts 9 and 1, I think I got it. Say, praise the Lord, Reverend Gotrell got it. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening and slaughter against. You see the word against? Against is a rebellious word. Underline that word against. Every time you see this word in the Bible or the New Testament, when you talk about against, it's a rebellious word. Because I found a lot when I was teaching years ago, and I would see all these great rebellion things that were transpiring in the Old Testament. Oh, I mean, ground would open up, and the people were going into them because of their rebellion against Moses, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And I saw how these people rebelled against Moses in the wilderness, and how Moses had to deal with them time after time after time. Yeah, I mean, Moses went up the mountain to get the tablets. God was going to give him the Ten Commandments, and he come back and found the whole congregation in disarray, built some false god, and began to worship him. You know, Aaron said, boy, did they put all this gold in it, not pop a calf. A calf just don't pop up out of the fire. But anyway, these people got unmanageable, and so they got rebellious, and God had to, a plague went through. And so God dealt with them in a different way. In the Old Testament, I mean, it was a destruction, sometimes mass destruction of people, you know, because they got in rebellion. God dealt with them harshly. And now, when I got to the New Testament, I got to looking, and I couldn't find the same type of rebellion that was going on in the Old Testament, and it was dealt with differently. And I found out that Satan sometimes changes tactics. You see it? So when Jesus came upon the scene, the opposition was always there, but it was kind of like hidden opposition. Satan tried to hide his hand and become a little bit more craftier in his deception and how he was dealing with the church. And the religious people to confuse them and to keep them separated. He even doing these little things now, sending subliminal messages in a crafty way. He working underhanded, sometimes unseen as it was in the Old Testament, but yet it exposes itself, and the Holy Ghost always exposes rebellion. Now, so when you begin to see the word in the New Testament against, and against, that's the same rebellion, but it was coming against. And you're going to see how, if you read the scriptures, God always deal with rebellion. He might not have the ground cleaving open as we did in the Old Testament, but still God deals with rebellion, and you're going to see it firsthand. And so I began to see, get my eyes open and began to see how it still exists. Even in today, Satan tried to hide and confuse it, make it look like something else, but it's the same trick, the same rebellion. It's the same dishonoring God. It's rebellion, but he camouflages it. If you're not spiritual, you'll be deceived to flow with it. You see, you know, they might be right. You know, it's deception. It's against God. It's end time what God stands for. And so if you don't watch it closely, the Bible says, the very elect going to almost be deceived. Well, I don't want to be one of those that going to be deceived. So I try to keep my eyes open to spiritual things. That's why I'm going to make this statement again. I'm going to go back to a statement I made earlier. That's why, Claire, just make this statement again. It is absolutely necessary for us to meet God's authority and to possess the basic knowledge of what it is. If we don't have a basic understanding of what authority is, you see, we got to have a basic understanding. And we find out, Apostle found out, that this authority is not being taught in most of your churches. And that's why he implemented this book within this school. So we can know what Satan is doing. We can call his hand when we see what he's doing. And so we won't be deceived. Satan has destroyed many churches and church leaders because of this same rebellion. Had God risen up right in the midst, and it wasn't recognized. And Satan threw bricks, like the old statement said, and hit his hand. He had people fighting against people, and they don't recognize that Satan's hand is right in the midst, working to set them apart from God. I'm talking about good God-loving people, good church-going people, good praying people, good tongue-talking people that have not seen and understand what is happening because they never had a basic understanding of what authority is and how it works and what God intended us to understand about how he functioned in his earth realm and how he wants to maintain authority and the understanding of submission to that authority. It's one thing to know authority, but it's another thing to understand submission. And we got to do it accurately with pureness of heart. And I need you to understand that. So as we go in this class, every time you see the word against, say that's a rebellious word. Against. So anytime people come against the right ways of God, that's rebellion. You see it? And it has to be exposed. And God will always expose rebellion. But you have to have eyes to see. In these last days, you have to have eyes to see. Spiritual understanding have to be open. Now, Claire, now let's go on a little bit more. So we're back into let's go back to the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, beginning at verse 1. I see I'm not getting too far with my class. Not getting far at all, but I'm trying to get something. There's still a foundational thing. I'm trying to get us to a basic understanding of the knowledge of what we're dealing with and how it's been hid and how Satan has covered it up and Satan wants to deceive us and Satan wants to keep us blinded. For the God of this world want to blind our mind so we don't see, we don't understand, and we can't flow with the things of God. God wants to flow with him and the things of God, but the eyes of our understanding has to be enlightened. And that's what we're doing, class. It has to. And Saul, yet breathing out threatening, back to verse 1, and slaughter, threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. Well, he shouldn't have been against if he understood what the church was all about, but he's against because he didn't understand, he was deceived. Against the disciples of the Lord. He went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he didn't care, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem to be punished or imprisoned or whatever. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shone round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuted thou me? Now, you see, now I have to explain a little bit, and I know, some of you are Bible students, exactly what happened on this Damascus road here. You see, he met authority for the first time. You see, and authority, listen at this, authority is anything that is greater than you becomes an authority. Now, we're talking about spiritual thing in this place here. Apostle Paul was a well-educated, rounded man in the knowledge of the scriptures. And so because he knew the scriptures, that would make him more forcibly believe that he was right. But the scriptures have to be rightly divided. And I believe that's why he spoke that word down in later chapters of the epistle. It's about rightly dividing the word of God. Because he found out that in his early part of his ministry, or in his early part of his life when he was a lawyer, and when his next move would have been, they say his next move, if he would have succeeded in this realm, would have been to the Sanhedrin, he would have been elevated or promoted to the Sanhedrin council. Because Paul was well versed in the scriptures. He knew the scriptures, the Old Testament I'm talking about. He knew them. And so he didn't realize that they had to be rightly divided. You see it? Always rightly divide the word. He find out that because he didn't rightly divide the word, we're going to find out on this Damascus road that he was opposing God and didn't know it. Wow, isn't that something? Apostle Paul, or Saul, was opposing God on this Damascus road and didn't know it. And the Lord Jesus knew. He knew that Saul was doing it out of, listen to this, out of good intent, because he thought he was siding with God, and he thought he was doing the work of God. See, you can think you're doing the work of God, but if you're ignorant, then you still can be opposing God and don't know it. So Paul, in his ignorance, that's why he wrote the letter in Ephesians, that the eyes of your understanding need to be enlightened, need to be open, so you can understand the spiritual things of God. And I found out Paul was one of the most spiritual men. He had received more revelation than any of the apostles that walked the earth. And so now God's about to make a transformation here. This same man that was really earnest in what he was doing. Paul was very earnest. And Paul was serious about what he was doing. And he really felt like he was devoted to God and doing God's work. But he was sincerely wrong. You can be sincerely wrong. And that would hurt the church sometimes. Being sincerely wrong. And now God's about to turn his devotion. You see it? And turn his devotion around. Because God said, if I just get him to see what's going on, if I get him to see my authority, who's behind this move of God, who's behind this word, who's behind the transformation of these people's lives, who's behind the way? He didn't know who was behind the way. He thought it was just men. But now on this Damascus road, he's about to find out that it was a higher than just men. It was higher than men, and it was something he never experienced before. It was a power, I got it, a power that was greater than him, and a power that he never existed before. That's why God had to do something dramatic for Paul. All of our conversion wasn't dramatic. Some of us just accepted Jesus Christ through the altar call. But God knew you couldn't just do that to Apostle Paul. He had to make a supernatural transformation. Because God was going to take this man and continue his work of structuring. See, apostles structures the church. And so God knew he had to, the Lord Jesus knew the church had to be structured in the beginning and emphasis stage, that he had to get somebody dramatic, have a dramatic experience dramatic and have the same, how would I say that? Oh boy, the same. Apostle Paul has had energy behind him. That's not the word. Apostle Paul had a zeal. He spoke of it and he talked about it, but it wasn't according to righteousness. He was talking about it a lot of times himself. You can have a zeal of God, he said, but not according to righteousness. And God saw that zeal and that fervent spirit that Apostle Paul had. And God said, if I can only get this and channel this into my kingdom. You see it? That's why God get people born again. Might have been one of the worst sinners, once worst sinners that ever lived. But God said, if I can just take it and convert them and channel that energy, my God. You see, God said, I know I can have some. What thing happened to Apostle? Our Apostle, Apostle Leroy Thompson Sr. God said, if I could just convert this energy that this man had. Let me talk about Apostle for a little, our Apostle. When he said, when he got saved and he got born again, he said he got in the scripture and wouldn't come up. He said he buried himself in the scripture. And God saw that eagerness and that fervency. And God said, I can do something with this man. And I can take this man and I can convert him. And the same drive that he had before, I can convert it. And that's why he was one of the most powerful men of God I've ever experienced in my life. Because God gave him a conversion. And God molded his whole family toward the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it reminds me of the life of the Apostle Paul on this Damascus road and the dramatic experience that Apostle Paul had. My time is almost up already. I got stuck on this. I didn't get through fall class. We might have to take up on next week on this very part here because that conversion was so dramatic, God had to transfer his I wish I had the right words, his allegiance. You see? He was being directed by Satan and didn't know it. And that's where the church is. They're being led by wrong leadership and wrong advice and wrong revelation. And so, but his heart was right. And God said, if I could just convert this energy. And now on this Damascus Road class, I'm going to close with this. Now on this Damascus Road, he's going with all diligence to Damascus, and all of a sudden this light shone from heaven, and then he experienced a power that hit him, and he experienced that he never experienced before, and he knew, now why this now, he knew it wasn't ordinary experience, and he knew, my goodness, it was a holy thing, you see it, and this holy thing, he knew it was something greater than he ever experienced, and he knew, and I think the anointing of God came upon him, never in the way never experienced before. And when that power hit him, he knew something supernatural happened. And then he said, who are you, Lord? You see, he recognized it was a lordship. It was divinity. He recognized it was something heavenly that happened to him. Because this light shone from heaven, blinded him in a way that he needs to be blinded and cause a conversion in his heart. I think he was born again instantly on that Damascus road. But yet, he still had to hear words. You see, God always put people before you. You know, I don't care who you think you are. God, you always got to submit. And we're going to find out that the first lesson that God gave gave Saul was to submit. You see it? You cannot be in authority unless you're under submission. You see, you got to be submitted to somebody in this earth. All right, class. So class, this is the furthest I can go. I still I wasn't gonna get excited today, but it's almost impossible not to get excited. You know these lessons because when you see and understand, class, you can function better. And we didn't go too far, but I think what I was trying to. What the Spirit of God trying to reveal to us today, I think he got across because we were trying to see the controversy of the universe. and how it affects us and what Satan is trying to do that we're not going to let him get away with. So, class, as far as I could go, I'll see you next week. God bless.